Friends, that's what we are going to celebrate these weeks. I love the visual image of Jesus calling and the people being set free from prison. You may not realize it, but that little analogy, what you saw, that's your life and mine. Everyone can come to the cross, and we're going to celebrate that for the next 3 weeks. We're going to celebrate it by walking through Luke chapter 15. So if you have your Bible, please turn to Luke 15. There's three parables, and it talks about three different things that Jesus celebrates. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to celebrate what Jesus celebrates. And we know if we celebrate what he is excited about, that we're on the right track. So we will use Luke 15 as the backdrop for the next three Sundays. I would encourage you to read through the whole chapter later. But for today, we're simply going to look at this first parable, Luke 15, beginning in verse 1. It says this, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus." Verse 2, "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told this parable." And remember, a parable is simply a story that Jesus uses to teach a truth. And so that's what it is. So he tells this parable. Verse 4, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." I love that passage. I love this story. I love what it teaches us about Jesus and his heart, his compassion, and his passion. Do you know what rejoicing in heaven means? It means a party. It means a celebration. It's to celebrate. So in this story, we see three things real quickly if you're taking notes. First, there is this. There was a party in heaven when you repented of your sins. Listen, that's for you. There was a party in heaven when you repented of your sins. Look at verse 7 again. "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Friends, God loves you. And he celebrates your salvation. Let me ask you, when was the last time you celebrated your salvation? Maybe it was today as we sang together, but I'll tell you, I, and again, this analogy has been used in it. Football season, it's always easy, and I enjoy watching football, and I enjoy college football and seeing what happens, and I'm sure yesterday there were a number of roll tides that were let out in your homes and wherever you were. And I'm sure for some of you, that just makes you a little bit sick in your mouth to think it. But for most of you, some of you said that. For others, there was a war eagle that came out of your mouth. And everybody has different feelings. Listen, there might have even been a Go Vols in the room. I don't know. It's hard to believe. But anyway, it could have happened. So the truth is, those things happen. And we say it. And we get excited. And someone scores, and man, you can get in trouble for getting so loud sometimes. But have you ever stopped to think, and we've discussed it before, and I'm not equating that worshiping God is the same as watching football. Although I will tell you, there are a number of similarities. Have you thought about it? This is not in my sermon notes. This is free and extra. But worship in churches, a lot of days in a lot of churches are just like a football team. What do you mean? There are 22 guys out on the field in desperate need of rest and 60,000 fans in the stands cheering in desperate need of exercise. And in the church, there are often 22 people in desperate need of rest out there working themselves to death and thousands in the stands watching in need of exercise. I'm going to start preaching here in a minute, but I'm just saying to you, if that's you, decide whether you are a fan or whether you are a player. And I hope you're a player, every last one of us, okay? That's up to you to decide, but I hope you are. But my analogy would hold true. We give a Roll Tide, a War Eagle, a Go Vols, whatever it is, Go Aggies. That's more politically correct probably in the room. So we'll say Go Aggies. Whatever the case may be for you, we get excited. But often in worship, we find ourselves, we want to be more subdued. And I can tell you this, we need to reverence the holy, magnificent, powerful, righteous, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. He deserves our total reverence. But I see over and over in the scripture where it tells us to praise him with a loud voice. So I don't know the last time you got your lungs operating well enough to yell something like a praise to the Lord, but based off the video and based off of what we're talking about this month, what I would want to yell is, thank God I am free. So how about those three words? I am free. Could you yell that with me? Now, if you're not a yeller, just give it a try. Give it a try one time. Okay, here we go. One, two, three.
I am free.
Amen. There, I knew somebody would keep it going. So let's try it one more time together. One, two, three. I am free. Listen, there's so much to celebrate. We are free. I am alive. On and on we could go. But in the scripture, there is a party in heaven, there's celebration when someone repents of their sins. But why is that? Here's the second thing you can write down. There's a party in heaven because God, this is good, God came searching for you. That seems so simple, but I've found oftentimes truth is pretty simple. God came searching for you. Look at verse 4. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? What does that tell us? God searches for us. He draws us to himself. God orchestrates opportunities for you and I to repent of our sins and receive his grace. Isn't it interesting? You don't go looking for things on accident. You never have. You've never looked for something on accident. You look and search for things on purpose. You lose something, you go look for it. You may accidentally find it weeks and months later, but you search for it on purpose. And what I would say to you is this. When the scripture tells us that God uses the analogy, and it's obvious who he is in the story as the shepherd who goes and looks for the one sheep that is lost. He looks for that sheep on purpose. Friends, if you have ever doubted for a moment your significance in the kingdom of God, can I remind you that God called you on purpose? Did you hear? God searched for you on purpose. He sought you out on purpose. Hold on to that truth. When you find yourself struggling with acceptance or some other issue, God loves you. He claims you. It was not as if he simply says, well, I'm reluctant, but because Chris, he did what everybody else has to do. He repented of his sins. He called on me for salvation. So because of that, I'll let him in. God has never reluctantly accepted anyone. Scripture shows it over and over again. He welcomes you to the kingdom of God by the grace of his Son. So friends, don't think that you got there by the skin of your teeth. Don't think that you were reluctantly welcomed in. God loves you. Celebrate that today. Not only did he search for you, but look at this. When we receive him, look what happens. God claims us as his own, and he carries our burdens for us. Look at verse 5. It says, and when he finds the sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Two words I hope stand out there for you. He says, my lost sheep. God claims you, and God claims me. Listen, I know that you're thinking, this is so simple, Chris. I know this already. But oh, let the weight of that sit on you for a moment. God claims you. Look at what you've done. I don't have to tell you about your sin. You look in the mirror and you see it. This week, I was struggling. You know, we all have different temptations, all of us. I've always been very open about things that I struggle with because some of you can just see it and other things you can't. But we all have struggles that and temptations that come our way. And I can go through seasons of victory because I choose to walk and believe what God said. And then I can go through seasons where I say, God, I know that's true, but I'm going to choose this anyway. And I can walk into a bad thought, action, attitude, whatever it may be. Have you been there as well? And I can tell you this week, I found myself a couple of times at a place where I was repenting of temptation that I moved into sin on whatever the case would be without getting into detail. But I was repenting, and it's as if in my own mind, I could not even confess that to the Lord because I felt like I had told him 1,000 times before. And I really ended up just saying to the Lord, my prayer was simple like this. Father, I'm so frustrated with myself. I know that frustrates you. I only want to say those same little words I always say when I confess, when I repent to you. I don't even want to say that. It's just frustrating. You ever been there? You ever been to the place where you feel like you're just a broken record over and over and over again? It's like that movie Groundhog's Day. The same thing happens day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out. Well, if that's the case and you find yourself stuck there, I would encourage you to let a simple parable like this back you out of that hole. Because we can first of all recognize and realize that God claims us as his own. He claims you. He knows what you do. He knows what you think. He knows where you're tempted. He knows where you succeed and where you fail. But he claims you as his own. And then look what else it says. He says, my sheep. And then it says he places him on his shoulders. His shoulders. Not only does he claim you as his own. Listen, friends. He carries your burden. That's amazing. Did you know that? Let me be honest, some of you carry your burdens everywhere you go all the time. You've forgotten that he will carry them too. I love this, that he will carry. A lot of believers still carrying their own, but we can walk in his freedom today. Now, how do we do that? Listen, I would love to tell you, just get on your knees one time and say, God, I'm giving this to you, and I'll never touch it again. But by my own experience, I can tell you, I've had burdens that I give to the Lord, and then I'll be on my knees praying, and right before I get up, I reach back down and pick it up again and carry it right off with me. Little pet sin. You ever had one of those? I wish I could have found the illustration, the little invisible dog. Have you ever seen those? A little, you know, you could get them in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge in every store anyway, but the little dog you carry around. And I feel like maybe that's what we need to imagine in our own lives, this little invisible animal on the leash. That's what happens with our burdens. We carry them around. And God says, give them to me. I will carry them for you, and I will surely carry them with you. What an amazing God we have, but he will. What's interesting, this morning, knowing I was going to talk about this, I woke up about 3, it was 3:22 actually, because I remember waking up, because I don't usually do that. I'm one that tends to sleep through pretty well, and so I sleep with the CPAP machine, and some of you say, oh, I tried that and couldn't do it. Let me tell you, that is like a life-saving invention that I love. If I put mine on, you can start the countdown launch code from 10 to 0, and I'm out. I mean, it just every time, it sucks me right to sleep. It's perfect. So I was wearing that, and something, the seal had broken, and if you've never wore one, you don't know the struggle, but it's real, because you get this little noise, it wakes you up. This is more info than you wanted this morning. But anyway, so I woke up. And when I woke up, it was my mind, the enemy. You know, there's a lot of times, most of my temptations are from my own flesh. But I do believe the enemy works hard at times. And so this was one of those times. It was like the enemy flooded into my mind. Irrational fears. At 3:20 something this morning, it was like that's what woke me up. But then instantly, I began to think about things. I went to a thought. That person, I think they're upset with me. And this was from something 6 months ago. This was at 3:20 in the morning. I don't know where it came from. Haven't thought it in weeks. And then the next thought was, well, remember that piece of paper you filled out for something? I don't think you filled it out correctly. And so you might get in trouble for that. It had nothing to do with church. But I was like, oh, my goodness. And it was right there. This is like 3:25 this morning. And then there was another thought about something else that was going on. And I thought, what in the world? And so I had to stop and just say, I know this is not from God. I can be free of this right now. And pray, and then just go back to sleep. Now, I would love to tell you I went right back to sleep, but it probably took me 30, 40 minutes to wrestling with things in my mind. Have you ever been there? Ever been through that? Listen, God would desire that we could walk in freedom from that. He transforms our mind. Romans 12 is very clear of that. Teaches us how to continue to renew our minds. But it's an active process. So when I say that when we look at the scripture and Jesus says that it through the same parable that he takes our burdens and places them on his shoulder. That's the idea behind this passage. Understand that it's an active process for us to continue to allow him to lead. It's an active process to walk in his freedom. You won't get on your knees one time and be done with it forever. You must continue, in my mind, daily to say, God, today is your day. Today I want to walk in your freedom and not my own choices. It's a daily commitment to him. He gives us the power, the tools, and he is the tool to do it. But we have to walk in that freedom with him. So I want to encourage you as you think about this simple passage Those three things. Will you celebrate what Jesus celebrates in the parable of the lost sheep? Will you celebrate your salvation? Will you celebrate the fact that God throws an elaborate party, the King of the universe, that celebrates the fact that he has redeemed us to himself? And though we can't throw as elaborate a party as God does, we can throw a party through worship, personal and corporate. We can celebrate him the same way. And I've learned to celebrate by being thankful when I claim the promises and the freedom he has in my life. And I've also learned one of the best ways to celebrate is to invite others to the kingdom of God. Monty Cross went home to be with Jesus just a couple of weeks ago. If he had been here today before this brain tumor was discovered and the cancer in his brain and all that he went through just a month ago, he would be sitting right here in our choir, right around there, singing with the bassist, and he would have lifted his voice and sung all the songs that we did today. Hallelujah. Everyone can come to the cross. Tell it in the Savior's ear. He would have sung that. He would have taken time to sing, "Your grace is enough." He would have sung all those things. We celebrated his life at his funeral service in Moulton, where he grew up and lived most of his life. And one of his friends read something that Monty wrote, and I asked permission from Janet that I could read this morning to you because it fits perfectly with what we're talking about. And this is something that Monty wrote about 9 years ago around the time his father passed away. And he wrote an account of something that happened to him, and I just want to share it with you. I wish he were here to share it himself, but we didn't know about it until he's already with Jesus. So let me read it to you. He said this: "I've told this story to a few of my friends and got encouragement to put it in written form for them to share with their friends. So here it is. Those of you who know me realize that it has not been the best year for me." This was 9 years ago. "My dad, who was also my hero, lost his battle with cancer on May the 2nd. Then in June, I found out that the company where I had worked for 26 years would soon be closing. As a Christian, I found myself saying all the right things about God having a plan for me and knowing that everything was going to work out great. But deep down in my heart, I struggled with insecurities and doubt. And that was before my episode with the trailer. Many years ago, my dad and his brother had made a horse trailer. Then many years later, the trailer sat idle behind my father's smokehouse. It was his storage building. And my dad decided to modify the trailer by adding a tin roof and walls so that he could haul aluminum cans to be recycled. It was a slow process as his cancer robbed him of his strength. But finally, the trailer was complete. It was not a thing of beauty. In fact, it was not even street legal. It lacked the required lights and tag. The hitch was several years old, and it had to be hand-tightened to the ball of the truck. However, since it was the last thing my dad would make, it was a treasure, and I knew I would never be able to part with it. Soon after my dad passed away, I decided that it was time to clean out the smokehouse storage room. My dad rarely threw things away, therefore I had many items to sift through. I loaded the trailer with items to throw away and prepared to take the 20-mile trip to the county dump. Since the trailer was not legal, I had my son, Ethan, follow in the car with the emergency lights flashing closely behind. Remember, I said earlier that the hitch was old and had to be hand-tightened on the ball. Apparently, I didn't tighten it enough, for just as we crossed the first major intersection, the trailer popped off the ball and skidded down the road. Fortunately, I kept the truck in front of the trailer, and it came quickly to a stop. I hopped out, hooked the trailer back up, and tightened it as good as I could. Then I said a prayer asking the Lord whether I should continue or return home. My cell phone rang, and my son told me that he was also praying for our safety. I decided to continue on the trip, but not exceeding 30 miles an hour. We made it fine the rest of the way on the main highways. Then we turned off the last section of county road that would take us to the dump. The road was straight and recently paved. I remember thinking, no more bumps, no more turns, I've got it made. Isn't it funny that when we think we have it made, that God lets us find out that apart from him, we never have it made? You guessed it, the trailer came loose, only this time it slammed into a utility pole. My truck was not able to stop it. It ran off the road. It picked up speed, slammed into the metal pole. Trash went flying everywhere. The trailer's frame was hopelessly bent. We stopped our cars and surveyed the damage, thankful that no one was hurt. My son asked me what we should do. I would like to say that I immediately bowed my head to ask the Lord for direction, but truthfully, my first thought was just drive away. After all, no one witnessed the accident, and as I said, it didn't have a tag to connect me to the trailer. I quickly realized that I could not be such a poor witness to my son, and I knew the Lord would whip me pretty good if I didn't own up to my actions. Then I came to my senses and did what I thought was best. I called a friend with county political ties. Surely he could help me out of this mess without costing me a lot of money. However, he was not at home. I'm sad to say it was only then that I bowed my head and asked the Lord for guidance and deliverance. I prayed that the supervisor at the dump would show compassion and help me and not charge me an arm and a leg for the help. I drove on to the dump, met with the supervisor, and explained my situation. He agreed to drive out with me to survey the accident and see what would be the easiest method to remove the trailer. He felt that it had the equipment to remove the trailer and transport it to the dump. He could take care of it. When I asked him what the cost would be, he smiled and said to me, "No charge." I was extremely grateful. As we traveled back to the dump, we continued to talk about general items. I felt sure that this man was a Christian by the manner he conducted himself. However, I felt compelled to ask him a question that the Lord has led me to ask many others. I asked him if he minded if I posed a personal question. He responded, "Go ahead." Then I said, "Sir, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you would spend eternity?" His response, "I'm not sure, but I hope I'd go to heaven." I asked him if he would like to know for sure, and he responded that he sure did. And then I had the privilege to lead this man to Jesus and through the sinner's prayer and to ask the Lord to come into his life and to save him. Then I got back in my car and drove back to the trailer and began picking up the trash that had spilled from the accident. I had several minutes to think about what had transpired as I waited on the supervisor to return with the front end loader. I was elated at how the Lord had worked that morning and for the many lessons I had learned. First, I learned never to think you have a situation under control by depending on your own feeble efforts. Secondly, I learned to go to the Lord first with any problem or circumstance. And third, I learned that the Lord will work through any situation for his glory if we only allow him to. I had a mini revival service right there in the middle of that county road while picking up trash. I even raised my hands a time or two, and I'm a good Baptist, he said. The supervisor and a helper then showed up, and we loaded the trailer with all the trash to be carried to the dump. The supervisor shook my hand and thanked me again for leading him to Christ. Then I left for home. As I was driving down the road, I thanked the Lord for what he had done. I thought about that trailer and how I knew I could never have parted with it any other way. I was thrilled at how the Lord had used it. I asked the Lord one request. "Lord, I'm not sure exactly how things are done in heaven, but if it's in your will, could you tell my dad what happened to his trailer and how it was used to bring a soul to you?" He said, I could just picture the Lord saying, "Cletus," that's his dad's name, "come up here. I've got a story to tell you." He says, "I apologize for the length of this story, but I didn't want to exclude anything. I was somewhat reluctant to share it, but I felt in doing so, I hoped it would encourage others. If it does, please share it with others." It would encourage me, and it made me want to share it with you. It's thrilling to stop and think that here's a man who's now with Jesus, and I'm quite certain they've had a conversation. Someone has in eternity about this man coming to Christ, at least Monty and his father. And to think that all of this began not with a trailer that was not street legal having an accident. No, this began way before that. All of this began years ago when Monty Cross gave his life to Jesus. And all of it began years ago when he learned the power of celebrating his salvation by telling others about Jesus. You see, he came to Christ, but he didn't get over it. He was willing to share the gospel and had done it many, many times before. Friends, I want to encourage you. When someone who, and I'm going to use this term, and if you've been around church a while, you'll understand what the term means. But when a soul winner passes on and leaves this earth, it's always a shame to me because there's not that many soul winners around. Those that will proclaim the gospel openly and often to others. And while the Lord was ready for Monty to be home, and he's now celebrating for all eternity with the Lord. Understand this, that what he did, the statement he made that day, sharing the gospel with the supervisor from the county dump in a situation just like that, that's the way you celebrate your salvation. So friends, I want to encourage you today to celebrate your salvation the same way. The next time a situation happens to you, ask God, how can you use this for your glory? How can you use this circumstance to bring about a party? Listen, here's what I know. Parties are born in church altars, and they're born in county dumps. Parties are born in African huts, I've seen it, and in high-rise apartments. They happen in school cafeterias and coffee shops. It'll happen in the chicken plants here in town and in corporate offices. The celebration starts wherever you and I share Jesus. So what I want to encourage you to do this month, these next few weeks, is to share Jesus, to celebrate together. So what's the next steps from today's parable? Well, here's four things I would say. You choose one for you. The next step for you, first of all, maybe for some, is to join the party. Repent, be transformed by Jesus. Listen, that's what it means to be a Christian. Too many folks think, are you a Christian? That means you go to church. Listen, that's not a Christian. It's someone who has been radically transformed by the saving power of Jesus Christ. So if you've been saved, celebrate it. But if not, today, would you give your life to him? Would you receive his free gift of salvation? In just a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to come and do so. We would love for you to do just that. Join the party. Secondly, the next step for some would be to claim the reality that God came for you. We'll talk more about that next week. But no matter how bad it gets in your life, whatever's going on, please remember and grab hold of this truth. You have eternal worth. And it's not eternal worth based off of what you've done. It's based off the one who loves you. Jesus, God, he loves you. Claim that. If you're down, you've been struggling, hold on to that promise. You may not have many more promises to hold on to today. Hold on to that when he claims you. And then maybe for you, if you've been holding on to a burden, struggling with the temptation or desire to fight it, whatever the case may be, I encourage you to think back to an old hymn. It's not in our hymn books, but it's been sung for many years. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. He will take his sheep and place them upon his shoulder and bring them back to the fold. Remember, you and I are his sheep. More than that, we're his children. We'll see that coming soon too. Take your burdens to him. What's got you burdened today? What's holding over your heart like a cloud, over your mind, over your physical body? Would you bring your burden to him today? This altar is no more special. Listen, we could tell everybody to go to the back row. It's just as special. We do this here simply as a place. We've got room and we can come together to get on our knees. God is no more right here than he is on the back row. But we ask you and we signify that we come here to get on our knees before him in this place to signify that we give you our burdens. If that's you and you've been burdened with something, would you give it to him? Now, when it says leave it there, that's easier said than done. Daily say, Father, I need you to carry this. I trust you. You transform me. Help me to walk in your newness, walk free in you. And then lastly, I'm going to ask you to do something, and I'm not trying to play off of this. I love Monty. I love what he shared. And as a legacy of that, I'll encourage you to take a Monty Cross challenge. You do the same thing he did. Share your faith. In whatever circumstance you find yourself in this week, invite someone to worship next Sunday. There'll be a clear presentation of the gospel next Sunday morning, and we're going to give a strong invitation for people to give their lives to Christ. So would you invite someone next week and then bring them with you? Listen, we say that a lot. It happens rarely. Would you do that? Would you make a commitment? I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate by inviting someone to the kingdom of God like Monty did, or inviting them to come at least to where God's people are and they can hear about the kingdom of God. Would you take that challenge today and act on it next week? I pray that you will. I pray that I'll live it out this week as well, that I will invite others, that I will talk about Jesus and I will show them the kingdom of God. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family to help us as we seek to tell people they can come to the cross, to help us as we seek to make a difference here and around the world. Maybe you come saying, I give my life to Jesus, and now I want to follow through with baptism to show people that he's already in my life. Whatever God is saying to you, would you be obedient today? Let's pray. Father God, please have your way among us. Lord, may we be challenged and inspired by this incredible story of the lost sheep, that there's a celebration in heaven when that lost sheep is found, that there's a celebration in heaven when one soul repents and turns to you, that you claim us as your own. Just like you claim the sheep, you claim us as your own, and we can walk in that when we are struggling in life. We can know no matter what, you love us enough to claim us as your own. And then, Father, that we can be reminded that the best way to celebrate that is to share it with others. Thank you for the life of Monty Cross. Lord, there's a man somewhere, I don't know if he's still alive, in the Moulton area, who will spend eternity with you because Monty celebrated his faith by sharing it. Lord, use us to do the same. Help me to have a passion for that and desire to do it. Use us all, Father, to tell our story for your glory. Have your way among us now, Father. If there are those to come to unite with our church, whatever you're doing, you have your way, Father. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.